And now I'd like to preach the homily that I was hoping to give a while ago. These days, whenever we hear the phrase making reparations, we tend to think of, maybe the sin of slavery, in our country, and the news that's surrounded reparations regarding that, and making up for the damage that has caused the social fabric of our country. Or we might think of the church as a whole and making reparations to, victims of abuse on the part of priests or bishops who are negligent in responding to such situations. Those are our more complicated situations. Today, however, I'd like to propose that our gospel calls us to examine how each of us as disciples of the Lord are called to make reparations for our own personal sins and failings. Now, I'll come back to that theme of reparation in a few moments. About a year ago at this time, Father Genther and I gave a little homily series on what it means for us today to be disciples of Jesus, that is, followers or imitators of him, striving to conform our whole lives to him. Drawing from its Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42, in that series, this is a year ago, I'm sure you all remember it in detail, we identified four practical ways in which one lives as a disciple. One, a life of prayer that's regular and consistent. Two, participation in the sacraments of the church, particularly confession and the Eucharist, and regular attendance at Mass and so forth. Three, fellowship, like meaning having a network of friends who support you in your growth in holiness and accompany you in your walk with the Lord. And finally, fourth, conforming our minds to the teaching of Christ and his church, the teaching of the apostles. As we examine our own Christian life and consider whether we are living as Christ's disciples, it's good for us to consider those things of prayer, sacraments, fellowship, forming our mind and heart according to the gospel, as kind of a litmus test of where we're at, in our discipleship. Our life of disciples, as disciples, though, it doesn't just stop, with those four practices. Christ, before his ascension in heaven, called all of us to go and make disciples of all nations. That means that we're not only to be followers and imitators ourselves, disciples ourselves, but we're also to be kind of missionaries in a sense. We are to help others become disciples as well. How do we do that? I think that's something that we as Catholics, we all struggle with. In a way, it's kind of simple. We simply befriend, pray for, and invest time in others that the Lord places in our life who are open to a deeper relationship with him. And in that relationship, we can invite and encourage such persons to grow in really any of those four areas that I spoke about. One of the ways that we will be effective as a missionary disciple, in that mission charge that we're all given, is to be sure that our own house is in order. We want to be sure that our own house is in order, that we exhibit a kind of moral authority and integrity that people see and respect. Our witness will not be effective, if we are not firmly rooted in Christ's way of life. We're less likely to inspire others to daily prayer if, for example, we don't really pray daily and consistently ourselves. We can't give what we don't have. Even more dangerous is living contrary, to Christ's teachings, which completely undermines our witness. The message here is not merely about making sure that we, practice what we preach, and even less to kind of gain a worldly respect. There's a profound principle at work here. To the extent that we are living deeply in Christ, living according to his plan, morally, spiritually, sacramentally, Jesus can work through us in really amazing ways in our families, our workplaces, and mission as his disciples to make more disciples. But if there are areas, particularly of morality, that maybe we've not completely surrendered to Christ, we can become more of a roadblock to the Holy Spirit than his instrument. As Father Thomas de Bay, a great spiritual writer, once wrote, "We are affected more deeply toward God by a 10-minute visit with a saintly person than we are in 10 years spent with a mediocre individual." Let's not settle to be mediocre people. Let's not even settle to be good people. Let's strive to be saints. Are we living a life of chastity for our own state in life, whether we're married or single? Are we living a life of sobriety or self-control, particularly regarding, you know, things like alcohol, drugs, or other substances? Are we striving for excellence in giving the best of ourselves in our vocation and daily responsibilities as a spouse, as a parent, employee, or student, and how we use our time and recreation? All these are important considerations for growing in moral authority as a disciple to be effective in making more disciples. Now, our gospel this Sunday, however, presents us with, I think, another element of growing in this sort of moral authority and integrity as a disciple. We're presented with the person of Zacchaeus, chief tax collector. Certainly, Zacchaeus had a conversion experience and in short order really became a disciple of Jesus. He turned away from his sinful life as a wealthy tax collector, a social oppressor, collaborator with an oppressive Roman, the oppressive Roman government. Tax collectors in Jesus' day were like the drug lords of society today. You know, they took advantage of their own people to become rich by extorting their own people above and beyond the tax assigned by the Roman government. Jesus' visit with Zacchaeus leads to repentance, and not just repentance, but it leads to a reparation. His visit leads to reparation on the part of Zacchaeus. "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over," Zacchaeus says. The story of Zacchaeus demonstrates for us that discipleship, having integrity and putting our moral house in order, is not just a matter of repentance of sins, but making reparation for the wrongs that we have done. How many of us have witnessed maybe fellow Christians, fellow Catholics, appeal to forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, kind of as an easy way to avoid actually having to apologize and to make right the offenses they've committed against others? If we are striving to live with moral authority and to bring others to discipleship of Jesus, we must do what Zacchaeus did and ensure we have made all things right with those that we have wronged. This is what we call making reparation. Reparation really is the demonstration that our repentance is real. Until we make reparation, our religiosity can kind of be hollow. On the other hand, reparation touches hearts. Apologies and concrete acts, including money and goods, where appropriate, toward those who have been wronged, can often soften hearts and break down barriers that otherwise seem permanent. Are there reparations that you and I must make in, say, the coming week that would allow other people a chance to see Jesus Christ clearly and become a disciple?